trust your friend. This last song that we sang, the Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. When I first heard that song, I loved the part about Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But that second part about let us experience, that part of it is like, okay, what does that mean? I don't know. Am I the only one? When I first heard that song, it was like, okay, I like the song. But when we do the let us become more aware of his presence, let us experience that part of it. Can you put that up, please, Steve, real quick? Let us experience the what? The what? Of what? Glory of your goodness, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. And then the Lord chastised me, punished me, because I was singing that song on the worship team, honestly. But in my heart, it's like, I don't care to sing that part because it doesn't make sense to me when I was first learning this song. And this song is an old song. It's been in for 2011, it says, 2011. So I say that to say this. We don't understand the Holy Spirit. I didn't. I sing about the Holy Spirit. I know of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel that way as well. So today God laid on my heart to trust our friend, and our friend is the Holy Spirit. And you who have accepted the Lord and did the Lord's Supper with me, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You do. I'm telling you today that you have the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So when we sing that, let us become more aware of him. What we're saying is, Lord, help me to be more aware of what's inside of me and what you're trying to tell me and what you're trying to teach me and what you're trying to guide me and what you're trying to comfort me and what all those are the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Lord laid on my heart today to share with you a few things about the Holy Spirit that we sing about, that we know about. And do we really know this mysterious person? And yes, I said it's a person, and I'll explain that. So, Father God, I just pray right now for your word to become real in our hearts once more, Lord. God, give us ears to hear. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have for each one of us today, Lord. And I truly thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. And I truly thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Because without that and without the Holy Spirit, we would be lost. And I give you all the glory for today. I ask, God, that you just would be in the room. Help each one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And be with Bill. Bless him, Lord, for doing the sound. And I'll give you all the praise and glory. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a mysterious person, a member of the Trinity. Have you heard that word before, Trinity? Do you know what that is? Who doesn't know what Trinity means? Okay, it's okay not to raise your hand, because I didn't know either when I first got saved. The Trinity is made up of three people, God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the Trinity, three in one. It's like if you take an egg, a hard-boiled egg. Okay, the outer layer is one, the white is two, the yolk is three, three in one. It's one egg, God, but it's three parts. Amen? That's our God, the Trinity. Okay? Everyone know that? But do you know what the Holy Spirit really does? What does he do? Many don't understand the role he has played since the beginning of time and continues to play in the life of the Christian today. Okay? So let's begin with Genesis 1, 1 and 2, right in the beginning of the Bible. Did you know that this Bible is over 1,700 years, 1,500 years, 1,600 years of took that long for it to be developed. Thank you. And in that time that the Bible was developed, it was developed by a lot of different people in different times to bring it all together under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's job was even in preparing the Word of God, even to get it started. And also in Genesis 1, 1 through 2, it says, in the beginning. Okay. Right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is right here. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is usually called or referred to as the Spirit of God. So when you read about the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, you are actually reading about the Holy Spirit. And it says here that, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. I looked up what that word hovering means, and it can be defined as abiding or to linger. It can hang, fluttering in the air. It also means to remain steadfast, settled over something, or to cover, cherish, or nourish. So the Spirit of God was hovering, nourishing, all of that over the face of the waters in the beginning of creation. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the very first verse in the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit actively involved. There are many important truths about the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to look at just a few real quick, okay? Is that okay? Shall we? Okay, is this good? Okay. How many of you know everything about the Holy Spirit? I don't even know everything about the Holy Spirit. I really do not. Because the Holy Spirit is inside and He's teaching us every day, right? Amen? That was a tricky question. Sorry about that. Shame on me. Not really. Okay, one of the truths is that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and we already talked about that. But I wanted to show you in Scripture, and Steve, you'll have to stay up with me, okay? So put them up there when I mention it. Don't wait for me to read it. So 2 Corinthians 13 through 14, it says that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The Godhead is made up of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We've already talked about it. But in this scripture in 2 Corinthians, that whole thing talks about the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit is part of that, okay? That's important. Another one is that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman or a person. We refer to the Holy Spirit as a he, him, his, okay? Not a whatever they do today, but he actually is a person. And you can find that in John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The pronoun, here we go for an English lesson. He, him, those are pronouns. Okay? And it also says in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieve not, offend, do not sadden. And these are all personal pronouns. And normally what I was taught when I was in English is that personal pronouns are only for animals and people, not for objects or things. Your milk is not a he or a she. Your dog is a he or a she. Your glasses are not he or she. See the difference? Okay? Those are pronouns. So the Holy Spirit definitely is a person and definitely has a heart that can be grieved as well as be joyful. Amen? And that person lives inside of us. I know that's kind of weird when you try to tell a little 9-year-old when they accept Jesus, he's living in your body. And then we talk about him being on the cross. It's confusing because the Holy Spirit of Jesus is in us. Amen? Okay, another one is that the Holy Spirit is eternal. It's eternal, just like God. It's eternal. And did you know that we are going to be living eternally as well? You are. When you die, you're not just dead and in the ground. You're not. You're going to live for eternity. And eternity is a long time. I don't know, but I'm telling you today, eternity is a long time. And you try and tell a child that, and the reason why I use a children's analogy a lot is because I am a children's pastor, really. I've taught children, and I'm blessed when I see them grow up and use things, little things that I used through the unction of the Holy Spirit. They remember it, and they grew with those things, and they remind me of them in older ages. One of the things about eternal, this isn't in here, but I'll say this real fast. Eternity is if you take a seagull and you tell the seagull to go to the Pacific Ocean and just pick up a grain of sand. How many grains of sand are on the coastal line? Huh? Okay, we're saying one little piece. Put it in its beak and fly all the way to the East Coast, drop it, and then go back. And then as soon as that seagull has all of the sand off of the Pacific coast, from Mexico all the way, all of it's on the East Coast. I hope we don't flop over, but whatever. Then eternity is just starting. Did you get that? Eternity is forever. That'll stay with you. Maybe nothing else I say today, but that will stay with you. Eternity is forever. And you have a choice, smoking or non. You know, we laugh about it, but it's really, it's a real thing and it's going to happen. And sooner than we think, huh? Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? We're not going to talk about that, but hell is not good. Have you ever got burned? No, it's not. So I just commend you today. I implore you, just be good, be right. Be good, be right, okay? All right. Another one is that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere, just like God the Father. Why? Because he's the Godhead, Trinity. Amen? And that's in Hebrews 9, or, yeah, no. Where am I at? Oh, Psalms 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit, O Lord? Or where can I flee from your presence? This chapter tells us that there's no place we can go where the Holy Spirit wouldn't be. Amen. That's a really good chapter, Psalms 139. I prayed that while I was in Nigeria. That was a good one for me. Amen. Another one is that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. Omniscient. All-knowing. He's all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 11. For the sake of time, it's right there. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And we have that Spirit living in us. And you can ask that Spirit anything you want about God. And if you need help, if you need trouble, you know, you're having trouble, God's there, and he gave us the Spirit of God in us and through us. Amen? Another trait and truth of the Holy Spirit is that he's omnipotent. I like this word, and you can remember omnipotent because skunks are very potent and very strong scented. And he's very powerful. Omnipotent means all powerful. Romans 15:18. And then all through the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was active in God's purpose and plan for the Israelites. And I'll show you just a couple. In Ezekiel chapter 11, 19 through 20, it says, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." That's not just talking about the Israelites. That's you and me as well. Amen? Amen. So, the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament as well as now, today for you and me. The Holy Spirit's been around for a long time. Amen? Amen. God never gave up on those Israelites, even when they saw miracles. I don't know about you, but I shared a couple weeks ago about the Red Sea. Besides, and that Moby Dick was looking at me as I was walking through the Red Sea. I don't think I would forget that miracle. How about you? But yet the Israelites, I don't understand. But then I'm not back in that time, right? They didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them like we do today. We are so much better off. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. And that, it's amazing. But the miracles and the signs that God did for the Israelites, and he kept doing it, and they kept getting in trouble, and he'd do it again, and he's so long-suffering, right? And he's long-suffering to you and me as well. Maybe we don't walk on dry land through the Red Sea, but God has done many things for me I don't deserve. And yet I just get myself in trouble again. And I'm so thankful that God loves us. Amen? So he never gave up on those silly people. Not to mention, there's one thing here. He made a covenant with Abraham that he would not destroy his people. Did you know that? So there was always a remnant all through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, a remnant. That's another story for another time. So then, in Joel chapter 2:28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." That's another thing that the Holy Spirit did then and is doing now and will do on. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus in his ministry. That's the second part. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, but then did you know that the Holy Spirit was a big factor in Jesus' ministry when he was here on earth? I'll show you how. Did you know that? Well, if you didn't, you will. Then the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for his ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. For instance, in Luke 1:35, this one is really cool. It says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Virgin Mary and the birth of Jesus, Holy Spirit was right there in the midst. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Because that very same Holy Spirit is living in me and you. Amen. Another one is Matthew 3:11. It says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptized with water. Jesus baptized with Holy Spirit and fire. Big difference. Water, fire. Big difference. We're going to learn about that. Wow. And then Matthew 3:13-17, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." In other words, John the Baptist felt like, "I'm not worthy to baptize you. You're worthy to baptize me." In verse 16, it says, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Alighting upon him." In other words, the Holy Spirit not only is spiritual, here it was in the form of a dove, but yet it still was there, right? "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" This scripture shows you the Trinity right here. You can use this to show people God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, Holy Spirit. Amen? So for those of you who are always in, like to argue and, you know, prove things, this is scripture to prove that. Amen? Take it. It's good. Okay. And then in Mark 1:12-13, it says, "Immediately after this happened, immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days. And he was tempted by Satan and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Who are they talking about? Who's the he? Jesus. Yes. Yes. This, I put this in here. I feel like God wanted us to learn this because I don't know about you, but me, I wondered, why did Jesus have to go to the desert to begin with? He's part of the Godhead. And as soon as he was baptized, the next thing we're reading about is that he was ushered by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to go into the desert. Doesn't that make you wonder why? Huh? I wonder why Jesus had to go to the desert and be tempted by the Satan, by the devil. Why? Why? This is the answer. Before Jesus could start his public ministry, it was necessary for Jesus to overcome Satan's temptation. You know why? I'm glad you asked. Something very important was accomplished in Jesus as a result of his encounters with Satan. The scripture, Luke 4:1, says that Jesus was filled of the Spirit. But when you drop down into Luke 4:14, it says that he was in the power of the Spirit. Big difference. After 40 days in the wilderness or the desert, there's a difference between being full of the Spirit. Catch this, okay? There's a big difference between being full of the Holy Spirit and being in the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Yeah. This is powerful stuff. We all know about being full of the Holy Spirit because you already have the Holy Spirit in you. But how many of us really understand what the power of the Holy Spirit in us is? Yeah. Seatbelt yourself in. Here we go. This is exciting. At least to me. I'm excited. Okay. Although the Holy Spirit is already dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit needed to be dwelling in Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus took it upon himself. He left heaven and he came down to the earth to what? Become like you and me. Become flesh. He got rid of all of his beauty, all of his strength, everything that had to do with God the Father, because he loved us so much that he took upon man. And I'll show you. I'm not just saying this, I can show you. Okay? Although the Holy Spirit is already dwelling, there still needed to be a time when the power of the Spirit would be released in Jesus so that he could carry on his ministry here on earth as a man. That's like Ray being Jesus. As a man. That's exactly what Jesus was. He was a man, just like, and gender friendly, okay? As a woman as well, okay? So I ask you this. Why did this power need to be released in Jesus? Did you ever ask yourself that? Why did this power need to be released in Jesus? After all, he was God and he had unlimited power, right? But it says in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 7. Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That's exactly what I just said. He became a man like you and me. And not only that, but he had feelings like you and me. He was tempted like you and me in the desert with the enemy, with Satan. And he had to pass the test in order to fulfill God's plan for you and me. Because of what we learned about back in Adam. Adam, basically Satan stole Adam's birthright, right? So God had to come up with a second plan. And so this was the second plan. And in order for Jesus to be taking back the birthright that the enemy stole, he needs to what? Overcome the enemy, right? And this is part of that. Are you with me? Am I going too fast? Okay. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, Jesus used divine power to perform his mighty acts, but not directly from God. Instead, when he came to earth, he laid aside his God power and truly became a man, a human being. Human's being. That's what we're doing. But did you realize that you just can't be a human being? We need to be a human doing. We need to be doing something for Christ. Amen. Human doing. That's what he had to do. Amen. When he performed his healings and miracles in the New Testament, he did them as a man. He did. He was allowing the Holy Spirit to work through him. Shortly after his testings by Satan, Jesus proclaimed his ministry. And it goes on in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I'm proclaiming to you today through Jesus' authority, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And we are part of what's going to be coming down in the future. So get ready. Amen? Amen. Thus began the ministry of Christ as a man here on earth, his lifetime as a human. He felt what we feel. He was tempted, as you and I are tempted. He had heartaches. I'm sure that he experienced everything that you and I experienced, except he did one thing. And what was that one thing that he did that we did not? He remained spotless. He did not sin. He fought it for us. Amen? So when you truly are praying to God, he truly does understand how you feel. He understands how we think. And I'm so thankful for that. He really did. He never failed us. He's not going to fail us now. Amen? And the rest of that scripture, did I finish it? Let's see, where am I? He also came to heal the people, teaching people in the churches, preaching the good news. Jesus' Spirit-led ministry on earth ended at his crucifixion. Only Jesus is Spirit-led. But that's not where it ends. The Holy Spirit continues. Okay? I just wanted you to understand that. When Jesus said, it is finished, those are just not words. And he wasn't talking about it is finished, him dying. His part of the plan was finished. There's still more to the plan. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. The Spirit of God in Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples. Amen. In Mark 16:17, it says that in a nutshell, Jesus' followers would have the same kind of ministry as Jesus had. And Jesus made a promise in John 14:16-17. And this is real important. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, friend, Holy Spirit, whatever you want him to be. When you need him, he's there. That he may abide with you forever. For a short time, forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive it, because it neither sees him nor understands him. But you and I, we should know him, for he dwells with us and he will be in us. He will be in you for just a short time. Oh my gosh, come on guys, forever. You're not listening. Do I need to read it again? Come on. This is important. He would be there to guide us and help us in our ministry as well, just like he did with Jesus. Because the disciples believed in Jesus and accepted him as their Lord, the Holy Spirit was already living with the disciples. But they weren't living with us. We weren't even on the scene yet, right? So God had to make this plan. A day was coming, however, when the Holy Spirit would come to live within them. And you know what that day was? Yay. John 14:26. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You see, when Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, he was sending someone who would counsel them but who also would be counseling us. Amen? He would help us. He would intercede for us. He would be an advocate for us, someone who would strengthen us and stand by us in all our circumstances. And this is for us today, just like it was for the disciples back then. You just need to take it, believe it, and do it. God said it. I believe it. That's it. Amen? It's so simple. Why do we make it so difficult? That's just a question. No biggie. Okay? And what else did he do for us? What else did the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost do for us? He helps us to be like Jesus. He's changing our character into God's character. He teaches us, and he's trying to guide us and show us the ways of Jesus to build our character. And you know how we build our character? We build our character in... Let me get there. Let me find it. Did I lose it? No. Galatians. Let me find it. I got excited here and jumped. Because I'm excited about the word. Are you? Yeah. Okay. Holy Spirit also. Okay, here we are. What else did he do for us? Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost do? He helps us be like Christ. He changes us and challenges us to be better. Do you want to be bitter or better? Because that's basically what the choice is. You're bitter, grieving the Holy Spirit, or you're better doing what the Spirit's trying to tell us to do. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, in John 16, 13 through 14, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, meaning Jesus and God, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, everything that the Holy Spirit does is not for himself. Everything the Holy Spirit does for us is to bring us closer to a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's all the Holy Spirit does. That's all. To build us, to make us more like him. Amen? Okay, so in the 40 days following the death and the resurrection, Jesus spoke often to the disciples. And in Acts 1, 4 through 5, it says, and being assembled together with them, the disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And this is what you guys are talking about. Amen? Are you ready? Here we go. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, which is in Acts 2, 1 through 4, this is it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you afraid of it? Do you understand it? Do you have it? Some do. Did you know that this is just a gift? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. It's a present. It's a gift. He gave us a gift. You just have to believe it. Open your heart up and receive it. And let him fill you with his Spirit in power. Not just be full of the Spirit, but in power. But we fight it. We try and reason it out. Well, you can't. I had a friend in Shady Cove. Her name is Darnell. If you're watching, Darnell, hi. Darnell wanted the Holy Spirit so bad that she would come to the altar every single time, wanting the Spirit filled. She wanted to have that encounter of the evidence of speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit inside her, the gift. But she just didn't get it. And so one day she was under her house. They live out in the woods in a house. And so they have a well. They're on a well. and there's some pipes leaking. And if you have a well, you don't want your pipes leaking because you have a well. It's not like city. Okay? Anyway, that's another story. She was doing that, and she was having struggle trying to tighten up whatever she was trying to tighten up. And all of a sudden, out of her mouth, instead of a little tiny cuss word, out come this weird gibberish. And she said, "You won't believe this, Tam, but I got filled with the Holy Spirit under my house doing a pipe." Yes, true story, huh? True story. So she shared that, and it just was amazing how God will just fill you. So don't work so hard at it. Just trust the Lord. Open your heart. Ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you, and He will in His time. Amen? So that was one. I thought of another one, but I think I'll just not share that one now. That's okay. Yeah. But the neat thing about Darnell is that Darnell was kind of always wanted to not know things, because she felt like that if she didn't know it, she can claim ignorance and get away with it. But after she got filled underneath the house, she was very bold in what she did. That changed her. And being filled with the Holy Spirit in power changes you. It changes you. It makes you more hungry. It makes you want to do more. It protects you. It gives you the gifts of the Spirit. It frees you to not care about what people think, only what Jesus Christ thinks about us, because we have the power. And not only that, but He gives you discernment as well. There's so many gifts. This can go on and on. So then they, the disciples, became bold. They became so bold that Peter preached, and almost 3,000, maybe more than 3,000, because in those days they only added the men. They never counted the women and the children. So it may even be more than 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus and believe in Jesus now and accepted Him. So no wonder Pentecost is considered the birth of the church. It really is. The Pentecostal day, that's the birth of the church today. Some don't believe that. That's fine. But we're all serving the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay. So I say that to say this. Through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, a handful of men and women back then invaded the heathen world as it was back then. They healed the sick, they set spiritual prisoners free, and they spread the news of the kingdom of God throughout the entire known world at that time. They had no idea that there is a whole other part of the world that needed Jesus. And today the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the same Spirit back then as we have today. And we just read about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That dwells in you and me. That's the power. That's the power. I can tell you so many stories that God used me in ways that I just would like tremble. No, don't use me. Don't. And when I would obey and do it, God's miraculous miracles happened. And He can use you the same way. Just have to be willing to do it. Amen? Okay. And then we also, let's see, I'm skipping down, Stephen, to Ephesians 1:22. He, God, anointed us and set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. If you've sat under some of the ministry preaching of Pastor Shane or myself, he's talked about a seal, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? Is that right? You are sealed. God chose you for a special purpose and a reason. And not only that, but it said right here in Ephesians 1:22, He, God, anointed us and set a seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a what? A deposit. Are you in that one? Ephesians 1:22, what does your say? And gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Is that Ephesians 1:22? Okay, I must be in a different translation. But mine says that He, God, anointed us and set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I think it's Ephesians 4:30. I think that's... But anyway, what I wrote here is for this scripture is that God put His seal of ownership. Catch this. the word deposit is translated as earnest. Okay, in the Greek, the word deposit is translated as earnest. When we buy real estate, we put down earnest money as a guarantee that we're going to purchase the home, right? And if you don't purchase the home, what happens to your money? You lose it. That's right. That's what earnest is. In the same way, God has given us His Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the marvelous future we will have with Him when He comes back for us. Did you catch that? Yes? This scripture assures us that we belong to God. He owns us. You just don't serve Him when you want to. He really owns you. Ephesians 4:30. And I have Ephesians 1:22 as He, God, anointed us, but I'm going to have to go back and find where that's at. So, but that's in the Word of God, and we are sealed. And our guarantee is the Holy Spirit, that God truly is coming back for His people. So you can hold on to that. And in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, also the Spirit will help us in our weaknesses, not only in our strength, for we do not know what we should pray. Am I the only one sometimes that don't know what to do? There's things that come down. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't even know how to answer the person. All we can say is, I don't know. And this is when the Holy Spirit really comes into us, if you really truly are listening. Because He will take what you're concerned about and He will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And not only that, but He cares about you. And He cares about what our ears are listening to. And He cares about what our eyes are seeing. And He cares about where we go. And He's always with us. So He knows where we are, even in our secret places. And I always challenge the kids, you can be a good Christian in the church. You can be a good Christian at school. You can be a good Christian in the car with mom and dad. You can sit there and be the greatest person. But who are you when you're in your bedroom and your door's closed? What are you then? Because that little Holy Spirit, Jesus in you, He's there with you. And that's how we easily grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is just, He wants us to have victory. He wants us to have victory. Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't know how to pray, Holy Spirit will equip us. And not only equip us, but He will strengthen us. And not only strengthen us, but He will help us. And not only help us, but you can pray, God, I pray that You would loose the Holy Spirit to go before me and change the circumstances, gain favor, do whatever the Holy Spirit needs to do, Lord, so that I can walk in Your plan. You have that authority to pray that. Are you? Are you praying that? You should be. I should be. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits. It's one fruit made up of a lot of character. Amen? Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the one we don't like, self-control. These are called the fruit of the Spirit. These are also called the character of Jesus. These are all the characters of Jesus. When we bear spiritual fruit, we are exhibiting Christ's character. Reproducing this character, all of these, joy, love, joy, all these, we were reproducing this character in us is one of the most important jobs that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. But we're not allowing Him to change us. Are you? We're not. We know what to do, but we don't. We want to do what we know to do, but we can't. We get up in the morning and we decide, yes, I'm going to do, and then we get sidetracked. It's so easy to just become complacent. And once you become complacent, then you become cold. And then when you become cold, you become wax cold. And then pretty soon it's pretty easy just to not even bother to come to church. And then we've also bought into the lie that, you know, family time's real important. And we need to do more family. So let's skip Sunday morning. Let's skip being in the presence of the Lord and gathering with the saints. And let's just have family time. Pretty soon it's, okay, let's do family time again. That was fun. Oh, you know, the sun's out. Yeah. And so we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm not here today to throw rocks at you, okay? Because I'm rocking too, okay? I'm just saying, be aware of the presence of the Lord. Let us experience the glory of His goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. If we sing it, are we doing it? If we believe it, are we doing it? I know this is ouch, huh? Ouch. Many talk of freedom, but because they don't know what freedom really is, the world, they don't understand. The beauty contest, what do they want? They all want peace. We want peace, peace for the world. That's not going to happen. Not that peace that they think. The peace that passes all understanding, that's what's going to be the peace. And God wants you and I to be victors, victorious, amen? And I want you just, I'm leaving you with just this, okay? When Jesus returned to the Father, He did not leave us to struggle. Did you catch all this that we've been talking about? He didn't leave us to struggle alone on our own. In His voice, in John 14:18, He said, He promises His disciples that I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you. I will come to you. I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you bereaved. I will not leave you forlorn. I will not leave you. Period. That's what He said. He fulfilled that promise by asking His Father to send the Holy Spirit to take His place. And by the Spirit's presence within us, we have all the help and power we need to live a victorious, joyful Christian life and to stand firm until we go to be with Jesus or when He returns for us. I'll read that again. He fulfilled that promise by asking His Father, God the Father, to send the Holy Spirit to take Jesus's place. By the Spirit's presence within us, we have all the help and power we need to live a victorious, joyful Christian life and to stand firm until we go to be with Jesus or until He returns for us. And today we are part of the handful of men and women invading our circle of influence here in Myrtle Creek and in surrounding areas, sharing what Jesus has done for us and to be God's hands and feet and to reach a people who are dying and going to hell. And we sit here, I'm talking to me too, to reach this world for Jesus, with the Holy Spirit as our guide and our teacher, pointing us to the will of the Father. Amen? Can anything change the fact that we are children of our natural parents? You might do some things that you probably shouldn't do, but that doesn't change the fact that you are still part of your parents because of the DNA, right? Right? So when we are born again, we became God's children, right? Nothing can separate us from His love. Catch that. Nothing can separate us from His love. We have His spiritual DNA because His Spirit lives in us, right? We have become partakers of His divine nature. No one can snatch us out of His hands. If we are truly born again, we are related to Christ by blood, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And His love will never leave us. What can leave us is grieving the Holy Spirit. And it's not leaving us, it's just letting us go on our own. It's kind of like when a child's learning to walk. We want to protect them, put two rugs under them. Don't walk off the rug. Stay on the rug. Because you know they're going to what? Fall. They're going to hurt themselves. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to protect us. But when we choose not to, but the love of God will always be with us. You need to catch this and understand that, okay? So next time when we're singing and about the Holy Spirit, Now you understand from Old Testament all the way to today, the Holy Spirit is living in us. The Holy Spirit wants to do greatness in us, not in our own will, but in His will. God's direction, God's calling, God's destiny for you and me. Amen? I hope this was good. It's heavy, I know. But you know, I think God wants us to grow up and be higher, higher ground. And until we learn the principles of the Holy Spirit and the principles that God wants us to capture here about our authority in Him, our position, how He sees us as His children, we are not losers. We are not the tail. We are the head. We are conquerors. We are victorious. We are King's kids. We are royalty. We're generational. We're special. We're chosen. We stand out. And even in our hardships, even in our hard times, God is there. Trust Him. Trust your friend. Trust your friend, the Holy Spirit. Go and do. Go and be. Go find opportunities. Go. The time is short. And you and I have the answers. Don't be afraid to share Jesus with someone else today. Amen? Amen. Well, after preaching that, I'm not a preacher. I hope that you learned something here. I know you did because the Holy Spirit was listening. So I just pray a blessing on each one of you today. And I want to invite anybody who doesn't know what I was talking about today or doesn't have Jesus in your heart. You can ask Him in your heart today. And He will live with you, and you invite in the Holy Spirit. He will live with you. He will guide you. And you confess with your mouth all the things that keep you separated from His love. Sin separates us from the love of God. Did you know that? Sin separates us. That's the grieving. So, I just want every eye closed for a moment. I know Pastor Shane, he's real good at this. But I just feel God wants me to do this. I'm scared. Lord, I just ask right now, Father God, that Your presence is welcomed here. It's already here. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs You, You know our hearts. Search our hearts. God, I pray that You would give them boldness to ask You into their heart. God, come and live in their hearts. And Father, not only that, but I pray for those maybe who have walked away from You and that are here today and that they haven't been really doing what they realize they should be doing. I pray that You would touch them as well. And even those, Lord, that maybe have kind of just taken a armchair and relaxed and let others do the work. I pray, God, You would prick their hearts as well and that they would make a new commitment today to be Your child, to go and do and be what You called us to do. And so with every eye closed, I just ask, Lord, if You want me to pray for You, with You, raise your hand, and I will. And God will come and live in you. He'll sup with you. He'll put His Holy Spirit to guide you. Anybody? So by no hands up, that tells me every single person in here is saved. And if the bus was to show up, we all get on it and go to heaven. Praise God for that. But I also want to know about the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit and God's tugging on your heart that maybe today is the day to reach out and take that step, I encourage you. You're welcome to come up as well and we'll pray with you. And there's saints here that have been filled with the Holy Spirit and they'd be happy to pray with you. And in God's timing, that gift will come. But you have to ask and receive. And so by taking a step of faith, God will meet you there. He always does. And so, Lord, I feel I've said everything that You wanted me to say. Lord, I am so humbled. I'm so proud of this body, Lord. We love You. And they are so, so special. And God, I pray a special blessing on each one. I ask God that You would keep them protected, covering around each one, a hedge of protection. The only Holy Spirit could go through it. And Lord, give us your ears to hear what you're saying. Give us your eyes to see through your eyes. Give us a heart of compassion for those around us. Lord, give us your will, Lord. And I'll be careful to give you all the praise today for what you're doing in our lives. And we'll glorify you with it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to have prayer, come on up. Not just for that, but if you want us to lay hands on you and pray for the sick, we can do that as well. So come on up and we'll pray with you. And the rest of you, consider yourselves dismissed. If you want to come and pray with us and help us, I would welcome that as well. So I love you all. Come back tonight at 6:00. Amen.